Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigating Netflix Originals. As always, I'm Madison, and as always, I am joined by Jamie.
That's me.
Hello everyone, and welcome back. We are glad you chose to join us. Today, we are going to be discussing a Swedish series that was actually recommended to us by a listener who wrote in. So let this show that we do check our email occasionally, and we even take your suggestions.
We do.
They also recommended Young Royals Season 3, which we are aware of, but in the United States, it's not fully out yet. They're just like teasing us with one episode at a time. So we're waiting for it to all be available before we record on that, but it is definitely on the to-do list.
Definitely.
And they also recommended a show called Thunder in My Heart, which is two seasons, which is not available in the United States, but is being recommended to the broader audience who has the ability to watch it.
Yes. And Madison and I are both too lazy to download and install a VPN to pretend we're in Sweden.
Yeah, and we'd both have to do it separately because we are too far apart to watch it together.
Yeah.
But they did recommend a third show, which is what we will be discussing today, called Love and Anarchy. It is two seasons long, and we will be discussing just season one today.
Yes, and I will try, I believe in Swedish, the pronunciation is more or less, Helig och Anarchy. There you go.
For which characters?
That's the name of the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you meant like those were the names of the main characters, and I was like, oh, they were just calling them Sophie and Max in
yeah.
the dumb version.
Yeah, no, that's their name. That's their name.
Okay. Love and Anarchy, or as Jamie said,
Helig och Anarchy. That's probably terrible, and I apologize specifically to the person who wrote into us. You know who you are.
Well, that's all right. She wrote in English, so it's fine.
Yes.
But I'm assuming you probably watched the subtitled version.
Yes, I did. The case I usually do. You dubbed?
Yeah. I always watch the dubbed version. I'm sorry to the international world, but I'm terrible.
Oh, my gosh. That's
all
but right.
But also, like, sometimes the dub versions are better than others, and this was not one of the best versions. Like, the tones of the voices really didn't always match, like, the expressions on the characters' faces, and I was just like, this is clashing a little bit, to the point where I actually tried watching it in Swedish at one point, and I was like, oh, I'm just too lazy to read all this.
You know, this is the funny thing, and I know we were getting quite far off from, like, the introduction and discussion of the show, but I almost feel like they must not always hire, like, actors. They just hire people to read lines. And because, yeah, every time I've watched a dub too, it's, like, very stoic or, like, yeah, there's no emotion to it. And I'm like, where is the emotion?
Like, it's not always like that. There have been some shows that we've watched where I've watched it dubbed, and it was very convincing. Like, I was like, okay. I mean, other than, like, the words obviously don't match up to what their mouth is, the movements their mouth is making, but, like, the expressions, like, sometimes are okay. But this one, it almost seemed, I don't want to say it sounded completely computer generated, but, like, it was kind of close, and I was like, ooh, this.
Oh, you know, it could be AI generation because,
like, it made me wonder, yeah.
Wow.
But don't recommend the dub version, even though I did the entire season dub.
But yeah.
If you want the authentic version, I recommend just watching it in Swedish.
Yes, definitely do that. It was good. It was very good. I don't understand hardly anything in Swedish, except for the words that are very close to German, and then I could get some of it. But otherwise, yeah.
Well, if you watch enough Swedish shows, maybe it'll start to sink in.
There you go.
You seem to have a brain for, you know, absorbing languages in ways that my brain will never comprehend.
There we go. But yeah.
But anyway.
So, season one. Back to this. It's a short series, only 8 episodes, about 30 minutes each, more or less.
Yes.
So it's a quick watch.
It is. Definitely want to say that it's probably not safe for work to watch it because there's definitely a lot of sexy sex scenes happening throughout the show.
Yes.
Jamie's original plan had been to watch it on a plane ride, and he decided not to do that, not even knowing that like it kicks off with like three masturbation scenes in episode one. And I text him about it afterwards, and he's like, oh, I decided, you know, wasn't able to get to watching it. I was like, well, that's probably good for you, the person you were sitting next to on the plane.
Yep. Be seen as a creep.
So yeah, I really enjoyed this to the point where I almost started watching season two like right afterwards. And I was like, oh, I can't do that because I don't want to know what happens when we're talking about it for NNO, but I'm definitely going to watch season two of the show.
Yeah, I thought it was good too. It's like, it has some definite tropes, but there's like so much in character development that is like, that could be done. Yeah. Like, we don't really know a lot about any of the characters. That's in a way. True. So it's like, you know, we have like a general glimpse into their lives, but like, you know, there's so much more that could be done that I'm very, very curious to see what a season two gives.
Yeah, I'm excited for it as well. I probably will watch it this week, truth be told. Yeah. But so like the premise of the show is the main character, Sophie, is, I'm guessing, some sort of like consulting agent who gets hired on by a small publishing company to digitalize them. And they're a company that is like, everything, every manuscript, every document is basically in paper, and there is no backed up digital anything at all, it seems, at the whole company. It's very like old school publishing, where they're still like accepting paper manuscripts and all of that. And I think she originally thought it was going to be an easy job, and it turns into like a much more complex job than what she was anticipating.
Yeah.
But she ends up having this co-worker, I guess, sort of. I don't know if he works with her or under her. Well, sometimes he works under her. Yeah. But
sometimes on top of her.
Sometimes on top of her. Sometimes just in her imagination. But where she kind of starts playing this game with him, where they have, she has this like thing of lipstick, and they are like handing it back and forth, kind of challenging each other to do progressively more intense stunts to like earn the lipstick back.
Yeah.
And with like definite sexual undertones to all of their interactions.
Oh yeah. It's kind of interesting because they're this originally like the premise of like trading this item on and off to do like, you know, increasingly sort of crazy things is there's a French film called Jeux d'enfants, or like child games, and they do the story has like a similar like couple, and they just keep trading on and off. And I think I don't think there's any sort of like adultery, which happens to be prevalent in this one, but but it reminded me of that, and I was like, oh yeah, they kind of do that in a similar way. But yeah, at first they're kind of like small things, and then kind of end up doing things that are basically destroying the reputation of the company.
Yeah. I don't think that like is the intent on either of their part. Is to, they are not trying to bring the company down, but like they are just getting more and more into these challenges that they're like putting the challenge above like the well-being of the company. They're not like looking ahead to like, how could this go bad, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so like it kind of all starts with Max catches Sophie masturbating in her office like late at work one night, and he of course takes like a photo of it and then tries to blackmail her. I'm assuming like his original thought was like maybe he could just get her off his ass because they were not getting along to begin with. She just found him like very annoying and didn't want him to be doing his work because his work was too noisy. But also like his work seemed to be drilling holes into what was essentially a concrete ceiling. I don't really understand what was happening with the structure of that building.
Yeah. But I think he was supposed to be like drilling holes to like feed like Ethernet cords or like something related to like, you know, in the process of updating the place. Yeah.
Yeah. Because presumably like the office didn't even have internet, since he was like trying to install cords so that it could have internet in the office, kind of thing.
Maybe it just had like very low speed, you know, and he's trying to high speed it up.
Maybe. They were all still on dial up plugged into phone jacks.
They're probably. It seemed it.
Dial up still exists. Is there anywhere in the world where dial up is still a thing?
Oh, I'm sure.
If you are a listener out there and you had to, you know, download this on dial-up, let us know, because we grew up with that and we'd like to know how that's still out. Oh, God. Anyways, so like the series of like somewhat playful, you know, pretend to be CEO for the day or dress like this kind of eccentric person or walk backwards all day long. Kind of these challenges get more and more like challenging, I guess, and like kind of climax with Sophie challenging Max to liven up this lunch. And without giving him any more details on what she wants him to do. And they are at, when this happens, like a very important lunch where they are trying to convince this other company to buy them, I think.
Yeah.
Or invest in them in some way heavily.
Yeah.
And Max is like, what he chooses to do is to take, because I have a few problems with this scenario, but he essentially sprinkles like ground up pot that you would use to like roll up a joint into what looked like chocolate pudding, I'm guessing, for like dessert. So number one, nobody would eat chocolate pudding that had like ground up pot in it and not realize that there were chunks of hard like dried herbs in it.
Right.
And number two, pot has to be heated to a quite a high temperature before the psychoactive effects kick in, so just like sprinkling dried pot in the pudding and eating it would do absolutely nothing to make you high.
They did put it in the oven. The guy cooked
did
it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then maybe it wasn't pudding. Maybe it was more like a cake or something.
Maybe it looked pretty puddingy at the end. Maybe he didn't bake it well. But
maybe it kind of just looked like he stirred it into like chocolate pudding and it got served like without being baked. But maybe it did get baked afterwards. If it did, then I retract that.
But still, that doesn't change the fact that you still have dried bits of leaves just like in your dessert, which you would still...
In your cake or your pudding or whatever. It would be quite noticeable. You wouldn't be like, oh, this is clearly supposed to be there.
But also, like, you know, weed tends to be pretty pungent. So, like, you're telling me they baked it in that room and no one smelled, like, weed?
Yeah, seriously, like if they actually did bake it, and it definitely would have smelled like pot. Not that I've ever been in a room where pot was being baked in the oven before to know this, but it would make the entire building smell like pot.
Yeah.
I don't know how I know that.
And so then, of course, everyone's like very high, or at least the people like, you know, Friedrich and Denise are very high, and they're the ones giving the presentation. So that's...
He like basically has enough to put in like five desserts, and there's like 50 of them on this tray
because
of the big luncheon. So of course, like two of the people who end up getting the pot spike desserts are like the two people presenting for this company. And I have to assume that neither of them have ever been stoned before in their life, because they just act so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so of course, like, it completely fucks up their presentation. Everybody thinks they're like really drunk because I guess they were serving alcohol at the lunch. So at least, you know, they had this excuse as to why they thought it was happening anyways. And the investing company kind of like is like, no way, never mind. We don't want that.
Yeah. But somehow, yeah, somehow they still acquire them. Or is this posting when they're acquired? I forget how it works exactly.
I don't entirely understand it.
Yeah. But at some point,
business things don't always make sense to me.
Yeah. At some point, like, the company is acquired by Streamus. Right. And which is like a big point of contention because they're changing it from just like a publishing house where they had a lot of liberties into something that's trying to be more like, I don't know, almost like pop culture or like, you know, sort of selling out in a way.
Yeah. That's kind of the important. That I got.
Yeah, and that was like a whole thing, like with the it's so funny because this series is like arguably a story about like Sophie and Max, but it then becomes like a workplace drama, and so like you know, a big part of the story is dedicated to like Streamus acquisition, trying to figure out how to like stay afloat, strategies to like sell more books. It's kind of, it is kind of just like, I was like, am I watching The Office right now? Or am I watching like a romance? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
Like You know, you're like really, that's very true because like the first four episodes maybe really focus much more heavily on like Sophie and Max and their like interactions between their pranks. And then like after the book fair where things go wrong with the pot, like the attention of the episode seems to kind of shift and be much more on the company and the publishing, which kind of took like a second, like a backseat to the main storyline of Sophie and Max leading up to the book fair.
Yeah. And it's so funny too, because like we also have Friedrich, who like is a pretty minor role at the beginning. He's just one of the people who have worked at the publishing house for years and years, one of the main people. And like he gets into a little trouble here and there for like supporting the guy who sent a dick pic to the other author. And towards the end, like especially episode 7, which is the ayahuasca episode, he's like, the story is about him and how he's trying to like change who he is and become a new person. And then like in the finale episode, he's like being very kind to Caroline, Caroline, Carolina, I don't know,
Caroline, yeah.
and trying to help her and like do all this stuff. So it's like, is the second season gonna be more like, will he have a bigger role, or are they gonna like, it's so confusing to me.
Also, like, Frederick does not come off in the first half of the series as somebody who would just be willing to try ayahuasca.
No, not at all. Maybe the pot opened his mind. I don't
I mean, that's possible, I suppose. But
know.
like it's Denise, I think, who like
Yeah.
mentions it offhand to Frederick, like, oh, if you feel like you're having like a existential crisis, like maybe you should try ayahuasca. And I guess he takes her like seriously and finds like an ayahuasca retreat, and I guess it completely transforms who he is because, like you said, throughout the whole next episode, he's like all zen and calm and tries to like talk Max through his panic attack with his
Yeah.
ayahuasca wisdom.
That was sweet.
Like maybe he's just a little high from the ayahuasca. I don't know.
It's so funny too, because like my understanding is that to go on an ayahuasca retreat is kind of like intense and it takes a while. And this is just like he kind of, it seems like he went like just outside the city really quickly and he's back the same day and not
Like
really like
Obi-Wan.
in an altered state. It's so funny.
Just took a long lunch to go on an ayahuasca retreat
Yeah.
and came back.
And also, like, you know, clearly not really in his comfort zone at the place. And I feel like that's a, I don't know. I feel like these like psychedelic or mind-altering drugs, like you probably want to be in a space where you feel comfortable and like safe. 'Cause he was definitely starting to have like a bad trip at the beginning with like all these people in his life, Gertrude or and whoever else, like coming up to him and criticizing him, and like ultimately it turns out fine, but I'm like, what is this, seems so, I don't know, out of left field.
Honestly, like all of the, hallucinations or visions that they show Frederick experiencing during his ayahuasca trip don't seem to be positive. Like the fact
No.
that he came away from that with like this calm, centered, new sense of being. I'm like, your trip was like terrifying. You were like chasing yourself around and seeing like all of your worst fears from your life and career being realized.
Yeah.
Like the definition of a bad trip, but then like clearly it helps him. Or at least that's what we're led to believe so far, anyways.
Yeah. What's interesting too in this is like we also get a little glimpse into Denise, but like she is basically just dating a lot of the authors, it seems.
Yeah.
I'm like,
That's how she chooses who to publish, is like who is best in bed.
it seems that way, to be honest with you. But it's
There
in,
are worse standards.
I guess. It's interesting though to see her struggling with like, you know, I have no, I kept forgetting to listen for the Swedish pronunciation of Tove Ler or something like that, the one author who is very like feminist, to the point where like she didn't even want her didn't want Denise using like quote gendered language, but like the equivalent of English, saying like, hey guys, because guy was originally male, so it's like you can't say that, you know, that's sexist and stuff. So it's interesting watching her kind of struggle with that and also frustrating at times because she was like tripping herself up during like talks and stuff like that. And yeah, I was like, calm down, Tuvly or whatever your name is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I wonder if we'll see more of her expansion, an expansion of her character in the next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, any one of these characters to like flesh them out more and have more kind of understanding of how they became who they are would be interesting. We get a little bit of that of Max with like the last challenge that Sophie gives Max if he wants the lipstick back is that he has to go to see his mother for his stepfather's birthday and he has to not apologize for who he is while he's there. And the only reason I think he goes is because of the challenge from Sophie and he doesn't want to like let her down because he's clearly falling in love with her.
Yeah.
And so like while he's there, you realize like immediately that his mother is just absolutely terrible and was probably terrible his entire life. And so like he realizes like eventually that the only reason his mother even invited him was so that it wouldn't look weird in front of the rest of the relatives to not have her son at her husband's birthday party, basically. Like that was why he insisted that he had to come. So once he realizes that, like his way of dealing with it is to just get completely naked, full frontal, and walk out for the big family picture completely naked and start hugging everybody. And then just leave walking down the row with his ass hanging out.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to burn the bridges. I did like that he, because he seems to have like a good relationship with his, I'm guessing, half-brothers. And he, you know, before he leaves, he like kind of bends down to them and says like, you know, you're welcome to come visit me in Stockholm like anytime. And they were like, yep. So it was very, you know, it's cute that, I don't know, he still, even if he like completely breaks off the contact with his mother and stepfather, who were blaming him for things like the kids were doing. Like the kids broke a glass and it's Max's fault. I was like, okay. Yeah, and
he's been the scapegoat his entire life.
So I was glad to see that, at least he's reaching out to his brothers to be like, you know, this isn't against you guys. This is because our mom's a bitch.
Yeah. And presumably she also is a terrible parent to her other two kids because that usually doesn't change.
Yeah, probably so. But yeah, so Max, you know, figures that out. And we also go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, in addition to like the whole relationship scandal between Sophie and Max, like, Sophie is an interesting character because it kind of makes it seem like, so her father is definitely struggling with like mental health issues, it seems. And he's been in and out of psych wards since her childhood, at least. Right. But it seems like maybe she in the past has also struggled with mental health, either that or her husband's very concerned that she's just going to slip into that.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. Because she also gets very offended when people start calling her, like, crazy and stuff.
Right.
So and I don't know what her story is, really, but...
So, like, the title of the show, Love and Anarchy, is, like, also the title of a book that Sophie had written when she was quite young. She never published it, never, like, let anybody read it other than her father. We find that out, like, towards the end of the show that she had let her dad read it. And I think like the concept of the show or of the book that he wrote was like the idea of a woman realizing that she was like much more than what society told her that she was.
Yeah.
And like this kind of coming to this realization as she grew up and kind of had more knowledge of the world. But I think that like the love and anarchy part of it plays a big role in her dynamic with Max in that like she likes that unpredictable like aspect in life, the anarchy, because she even tells him at one point to like make some anarchy happen or something. That was one of the challenges one day, was to like create some anarchy at the next meeting kind of thing. So I think that like I don't know that she's necessarily been like institutionalized for mental health before this point, but I think that she has a more crazy side that her husband probably has seen over the years and probably fears that she, because, you know, her father being who he is, like, that she will trend down that path, and he doesn't want that for her. But it seems like maybe she wants that for herself.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, Yoan is, like, her husband is, like, so... He's, like, very controlling in their relationship. And yes. Also, like, infantilizes her a lot. Like, basically seems to be, like, trying to control her career trajectory and making the decision that she's, like, stepping out of the career to, like, take time for herself, even though clearly that's not something she wants to do.
Right.
You know, and then even going as far as, like, the move to London, where she had, it was sprung up on her at the last minute. Of course, the son is, like, very excited because who doesn't want to, like, go to a different place, I guess. Isabel, her daughter, is interesting because she was kind of, like, I think she's obviously aware, more aware of her mother's emotions than her brother, because she was kind of like, what do you think, Mom? You know, we find out when they're weirdly sitting in a hot tub next to the other person's husband with her friend or whatever, that I was like, what is this? Why is she not sitting next to Yoan? But we find out that he also had found, like, a physician, like a therapist there that he apparently intends on, like, taking Sophie to get her mental health, you know, help with her mental health. And she's just kind of like, what the fuck? And
which
hisses at them.
To his, like, credit, like, he has been watching her do some pretty weird things over the past, like, few weeks or few months. Like, the one challenge from Max was to walk backwards for the entire day, and she didn't just do it at work. Like, she just continued walking backwards at home after Max was, like, way out of the picture.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, giving no explanation to, like, her husband as to why she was walking backwards.
That's true.
So, like, that kind of, like, coupled with watching her father get progressively more and more insane and eventually ending up in the psych ward, like, I can see, like, why he would be concerned that maybe she was heading the same direction. But at the same time, like, he's very controlling about it. Like, he's like, and he just kind of tells their friends, like, yeah, we're moving to London and we got this therapist set up and it's going to be great. And she's just like, no, and stands up and hisses at everybody.
Yeah, and then walks down the street in a robe.
In her spa robe. And then goes back to work and, like, tries to do the presentation in, like, flip-flops in a spa robe. And Stream Up is just like, no, we're terminating this acquisition.
Yeah, the owner, I guess, of Stream Us was, like, not having it. And she was like, I work so hard every night and I have to deal with this shit, and then, you know, runs out of there with her posse. But that was such a confusing situation. And then, of course, like, you know, as she runs away, she, like, knocks Caroline over, and Caroline drops the book she's been reading from that sort of eccentric woman. And it's so, like, ridiculous that, you know, what's his name? Frederick, like, picks up one sheet and apparently glances at it. And just from that, he can tell that this book, like, is a masterpiece.
This is amazing. Have you read this book? It's incredible. And it's like, you've read, like, one sentence in the middle of the book.
Right. And then he hands it to Denise and she's like, astounding. The writing style, it's nothing I've ever seen. And then I did like that it was Caroline who, like, gave the thing a chance, and that she's been trying to kind of be like, guys, this is so good. So clearly in season two, this is going to play some sort of role in, like, making the publishing company come back real quick with, like, the best book ever.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think, because that was sort of one of their plans, was to, like, take on a new author with, like, a really good book kind of thing to, like, help save the company. So since they're losing Stream Us, there's no longer planning to acquire their company, they're going to have to come up with some other source of revenue, theoretically, to stay in business. So probably this author will play a big role in that in season two, I would imagine.
I wonder.
Probably
more Sophie masturbating, standing up in every scene.
Oh my gosh, like, why are you standing up? I just don't like leaning over a toilet, standing up. Like, I just, is that really relaxing? I don't know.
That's what I was like, because like she was so frustrated, and every time she was trying to like do this quickly, and I was like, well, do you think standing up is maybe your issue? Like, I'm confused about what we're trying to accomplish here. And also, like, standing up over her desk with the blinds open, like, I know it's past hours, but like, there may be a cleaning crew. Like, what are you doing?
Like, at least close the blinds. And like, why not just like sit back and, you know, get
I know, put
hike
your
one
legs
knee up
up.
on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. They'd probably go faster if you weren't like standing hunched over a toilet. Oh, or maybe she's just really, you know, that sensitive and is just ready to go at any moment.
Maybe,
So
yeah, maybe that's
good
her,
for her.
maybe that's her
Yeah.
preferred, angle or whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
I'm glad you had the same thought though, because I was like, what is she doing? But all right.
The first time that like it's at home and she's in the bathroom and she's got like two screaming kids out there, so probably the bathroom is the only place that she would have privacy at all in her life at home. But like at work, she could have had the whole office to herself. She could have closed the blinds, spread out eagle on the floor if she'd wanted to. But she still did it standing. Like, what?
Oh, Sophie. Silly Sophie.
That was like three times in one day. Go, Sophie.
I know, which I guess, shows us that she's sexually frustrated because clearly she wasn't at that point sleeping much with Johan, I'm guessing,
Right.
until like that scene where, they were having very verbal sex with each other.
Yes.
But
Yeah. And yeah, or like she like has sex with Yohan at one point after she kind of gets really turned on by Max at the office during like this office interview that he gives her, and she gets like really turned on and leaves and goes home and immediately like has sex with her husband.
yeah.
But
I'm sorry, but like, do we think that Johan suspects anything, or does he really just think she's like losing it? Because he walks into like Max being in the room, and then he doesn't really fix the dishwasher. He like gently
I mean,
unclogs it, but like, was that the real
perhaps.
issue? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I was Yoan, I would have been a little suspicious, especially of the fact that or that Max seemed to be kind of like trying to hide in the kitchen and didn't seem very hands-on with fixing the dishwasher until Yoan was like, "Oh, are you the dishwasher repair guy?" And he was just like, "Yes, that is what I am here for."
And they were both kind of like frazzled, so clearly
Yes.
startled. So it's like he's just not
Yeah.
observant at all, it seems.
I mean, I get the impression from their dynamic that Sophie and Yoan probably aren't very like open in like talking to each other and communicating well with each other. So maybe he is just kind of oblivious between his own job and his kids and his kind of crazy wife, and maybe he doesn't realize that, you know, she's got something going on the side with Max.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, and we get a glimpse into Johan's like career where he almost seems like he's kind of stagnating in where he is, unlike in, I don't know what he does. Is he like something with the movies or film or TV?
Yeah, I don't know.
But we see a scene where like they're at some sort of gathering and he's intimidated by a younger artist, it seems.
Yeah.
So we get a glimpse that he doesn't feel secure, which is probably why he wants to, also why he wants to move to London.
Yeah, I think he had even mentioned something about how it was a good career move for him to go to London. Like, he'd be moving up. He'd be making so much more money that she wouldn't even need to work. She could just stay home and focus on her mental health and therapy and all these things, you know? Which, I don't know. He seems kind of like a dick.
Yeah, he does. He does. Because it's fine to have those thoughts, but like maybe discuss all of that before you just like tell your kids you're moving to London.
And like tell your friends like that
Your
this is what's
friends.
happening without in front of your wife without having discussed it with your wife.
Yeah, no, that's messed up.
So not great decisions on his part there.
Yeah, I hope in season two that she writes her book and gets it published.
Yeah, that would be fun to see more of that. Maybe the book is just what she's creating with Max, Love and Anarchy.
Aww. Yeah, I assume that we'll see more to their relationship. I assume she's gonna tell Yoan that she's been sleeping with the IT guy. Or he'll
Hopefully
find
she just
out somehow. Although Caroline knows that something's going on with them.
yeah, probably. I feel like everybody in the office should know, like if they were paying any attention at all, but I think Caroline was interested in Max, so she was paying attention to the fact that Max was not paying attention to her and that he was paying a lot more attention to Sophie. But yeah.
That's pretty much it, I think.
That is.
Trying to think of other important points of the show that we may have missed, but
Yeah, I was just skimming through my notes to see if there was anything else I wrote down that I have a couple of quotes.
sure, let's read them.
I think I hit up every all the main characters and their storylines anyways.
Well, I guess real quickly, there's maybe we'll see more of I think her name is Hilma or something. She was the intern, but then she became a YouTuber, which like even Isabel knows about. So I don't know if she's gonna, people seem shocked that she was back in the picture, so I don't know if she's gonna play some sort of role, but
I think they were maybe hoping she would interview them or make a YouTube video or something with them to kind of like publicize their publishing firm. But I'm not entirely sure what the objective there was with her. I know they are excited because she had lots of followers though, or something like that.
But yeah, what are your quotes?
So I have two quotes. The first one is by Sophie, and she's talking about like the girl in her book, and she says that basically like the girl in her book wakes up one day and realizes that she is a seedling. So the quote is, she realizes that everything is made from something, which in turn is made from something else, and she keeps growing boundlessly until she becomes an entire forest. Love and Anarchy.
Oh, that's beautiful. I had written a shorter version of that same thing, so we think alike.
Would you like to shorter version?
No.
Fair enough. I also have a quote from the book, but it's like by Sophie's dad later on when he's like remembering the words from her book. He says, "You have so much blooming inside of you that it is complete." Sorry, I fucked that up. "You have so much blooming inside of you that is completely yours and totally fresh. You are a forest now."
Oh, which
Oh.
is so nice because, like, you know, she thought she was on the verge. She had said earlier that she was on the verge of becoming a forest, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
confirmation from her dad.
And I love that she also uses like the metaphor from her book to help her daughter when her daughter is really like confused and struggling after her grandfather, who she's really close with, gets hospitalized and she's not allowed to see him. So she kind of like explains, you know, this metaphor of waking up, like the day you wake up and realize that you are a seedling is the day that you can start growing. And she kind of takes, I can't remember which flowers that she used, like one's like a bluebell and then a rose and then a tree. And like once you realize that like everything you are is connected to everything else, like you can grow boundlessly until you become an entire forest, essentially. And I thought that's a good metaphor. I
It
like
was
it.
great. I really liked that sort of connection they had there. And that's also the scene that made me fucking hate Yoan, because he overhears and then just like criticizes, like, "You sound fucking crazy. Like, don't tell her this shit." And I was like, "Who are you?" Like, literally said something that like comforts the daughter who's like really struggling with the fact that her grandfather's back in, you know, the mental institution, and all you can do is criticize when you couldn't do anything to fix the issue yourself. Like, what the hell?
And like I'm not sure that Yoan realizes that what she's saying to their daughter is like from the book that she wrote, because Yoan had said earlier that Sophie never let him read the book. So like maybe he doesn't realize like that he's like directly criticizing her writing, but like at the same time, Like, why would you say something like that to anybody? Like, it's just cruel to be like, that's so stupid to say her. And it's like, clearly it was helping, you know?
Well, and it's also like it's not a crazy message. It's like,
Right.
yeah, you can realize that you have a chance to learn and grow and become something much more. Like, I don't see the harm in saying that to someone.
No,
You
but
know? It's like, I mean,
no.
that's men for you, let
That is, sorry, Jake.
It's true.
No offense to all men in this area, in this podcast.
These men, I tell you.
Yeah, I know, seriously. But
But
probably, and probably it's just like an idea that's never occurred to him because, like,
yeah.
as a successful white man, he's never like had to overcome things and like learn how to grow in a world where maybe the, you know, you're not supposed to grow kind of thing.
Very true. Very true. So yeah, maybe we'll see less of Johan in season two and more of, you know, important things.
Yeah, I don't know that we could see more of Max. We've seen all of Max.
Yeah, we've seen quite a bit, that's for sure. We also saw quite a bit of Sophie as she was like walking
We did.
around bottomless at the pool and such.
Yeah,
That
which
was.
I was like, at first I had to go back and rewatch that scene because I was like, did Max challenge her
Yeah.
to like do this and I missed it somehow, but
Me
like she just
too.
decided she was gonna take her bikini bottoms off and like walk around the pool and let the lifeguard chase her. But then like that's of course when Max and Sophie finally fuck for the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite the titillating scene.
I did like that everyone at the pool was like cheering her on.
Yeah.
I was like,
That
oh.
was funny. They were like, yeah, you got it, girl.
More of a free and open society than here in the States, I think. People probably would have been scandalized here.
We probably would have been tackled to the ground and arrested for indecent exposure. The lifeguard was just like, it's not sanitary. It's like she's in the water anyways. It's not like the water is not sloshing up against your junk through your clothes in a
Yeah.
pool. Come on. That's why we douse them with chlorine.
Right. I was like, how? Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And he was all like concerned that she was gonna pee when she got back in the water. And it's like she could have done that
Yeah,
anyways.
nothing's
The
stopping
bathing
her.
bottoms weren't really preventing
Yeah. But yeah,
that.
so that is more or less Love and Anarchy season one.
Yes. Thank you very much for the recommendation. I really enjoyed it, and I would definitely recommend it to the wider audience as well.
Yeah. And I don't know, are we avoiding saying her name just because her first name?
I just don't remember what it
Oh,
was. I could
Annika.
only remember.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the only reason.
Yeah, so thank you, Annika. Annika did suggest that season two is not as good as season one, so we'll have to see how it is. But we can hold out some hope anyway.
Yeah, I will watch it because I am curious, and if I think it's, you know, worth doing a discussion on, I'll let you know.
Right, sounds good. But yeah, so if you have any thoughts on Love and Anarchy, or you want to tell us your story about how you traded lipstick with a young intern to create anarchy, reach out to us on Twitter at NNO Podcast.
Yes, if you have that specific story of having traded lipstick to create Love and Anarchy with somebody, we would absolutely love to hear it. So please send it to navigatingnetflixoriginals@gmail.com. And also, please feel free to send us any suggestions you have on shows or movies you would like us to watch in the future. As we've proven today, we do occasionally check our email and we even follow the suggestions when they're available in the United States.
Indeed, we do. So, thanks again, everyone, and until next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.